From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're 1 week away from primary election day in Illinois, but in truth, voting has been going on for more than a month. As of this morning, the State Board of Elections is reporting more than 73,000 Illinoisans have voted by mail, and nearly 67,000 more have voted early. But that is just a tiny fraction of the more than 8 million active registered voters in Illinois. Meanwhile, the candidates have been burning through that $5 a gallon gas, stumping around the state. In the crowded Republican field, multiple polls have State Senator Darren Bailey with a double-digit lead. He's been on a bus tour aiming to visit all 102 counties in the run-up to Election Day. He does a Facebook Live every morning. Here's a little bit of today's installment with his wife, Cindy, from the side of a highway in Murfreesboro.
Cindy and I departed from the regular from the bus. The bus is continuing to make its journey. It's starting at Peoria this morning. And we will be hitting, you can scroll up to the top of this page. I've pinned our stops today, and we'd love to see you. We just finished up here at Murfreesboro. Absolutely amazing community, an amazing hotel. Holiday Inn Express in Murfreesboro. It is an amazing, we've been here a few times already before, and it's just a beautiful hotel, and we've got wonderful staff there. So friends, here's the deal. Put your seatbelts on and buckle up, because it's going to be a rocky ride this next several days.
Indeed. Meanwhile, one of Bailey's well-financed or more well-financed competitors, Aurora Mayor Richard Irvin, has also been touring the state, encouraging people to vote early. He is scheduled to visit HM Manufacturing in Wakanda this afternoon. There's not nearly as much activity on the Democratic side as Governor J.B. Pritzker and U.S. Senator Tammy Duckworth are expected to easily win renomination. Oh, and a certain party's favorite former president is making a visit to Adams County near Quincy this weekend to endorse a candidate in an incumbent versus incumbent primary for Congress. Joining me to talk about all this are two ace political reporters. Amanda Vinicky is a correspondent with Chicago Tonight from PBS station WTTW. Amanda, always great to talk with you.
I love chatting politics with you, Brian.
And Brendan Moore is with Lee Enterprises, which publishes papers in the Quad Cities, Bloomington Normal, Decatur, Mattoon, and St. Louis, among many other markets. Brendan, I've seen you reporting from all over Central Illinois. Thanks for making time to be with us.
Yep, just burned the $5 gas as well.
hopefully on the company dime, but we don't have to get into that. All right, Brendan, I want to begin with you because you covered the Peoria and Tazewell County Lincoln Day dinner last night featuring keynote speaker Mike Pence. By my count, the former vice president made at least three references to the Trump-Pence administration, only one brief acknowledgement of a tragic day in our nation's capital, referring to the insurrection on January 6th, where at least some of the rioters were chanting for his murder. Pence did not clearly and openly renounce President Trump's obsession with the 2020 election, but he did seem to tiptoe around the idea by saying his party needed to focus on the future. Let's listen to a clip.
As the Bible says, without a vision, the people perish. And Abraham Lincoln and Ronald Reagan were among the greatest leaders of this nation because they cast a vision grounded in American ideals and fought for it every day. In the days between now and Election Day, we need you to say yes. Yes to the future. Yes to a future of freedom and our most cherished values. And the Republican Party must be the party of the future.
All right, maybe a coded message there, not the party of relitigating the 2020 election again and again. Brendan, what kind of reception did the former vice president get in Peoria?
The former vice president was warmly received by the nearly 700 folks in attendance. And let me remind you, these are, you know, the most dedicated Republicans in Peoria and Tazewell County. These are the precinct committee people, elected officials, basically your most hardcore supporters in the party. So he received a nice reception. There were some pro-Trump protesters outside, but nothing out of the ordinary for events like this. No, the former vice president was threaded a needle, if you will, trying to focus on the future, perhaps a future presidential run for himself, while also waxing nostalgia a little bit. Mentioning the Trump-Pence administration, I counted four times, but Counting I guess accomplishments of the administration for the 4 years that he was in office as vice president, while trying to tiptoe around that as he called it, a tragic day on January 6th, and I guess everything that comes with that, and obviously it is interesting timing for the former vice president to be here, as you mentioned at the top, his boss, former boss, former President Trump will be in Central Illinois as well on Saturday. So it'll be interesting to hear what he has to say.
Yeah. And Amanda, you almost get the sense that there's like a choice that Illinois officials have to make, right? Richard Irvin was at the Aurora mayor, who is a candidate for governor, was at the Pence event yesterday, at least according to Brendan's Twitter stream. I saw that. But I don't think Senator Darren Bailey was, and it might be the opposite of that with President Trump's visit, right? There's a choice in the Republican Party these days.
You know, there certainly is a choice. I'm really have been intrigued almost to take a breath. We've got plenty to deal with until, of course, primary day, but sort of after that, depending on how things pan out, what really that means for the direction of the party. Because even as we have seen, it's been for a very long time, there's been a divide in the Illinois GOP with sort of the more conservatives versus the establishment, the bankers, the more Bush era type of Republicans versus Trump. And we hadn't quite seen Illinois go as conservative as we have in other states. And it seems as if that is changing, and or at very least that Darren Bailey is making a big play for that. It's not just we've been talking, of course, about Trump and Pence and sort of these national figures, but it's also in the reverse where Bailey's trying to make plays using, by the way, apparently or at least supported in with money from Dick Uhlein, but trying to make plays to get, if he were to become governor, the legislators in the House and Senate that he wants, and getting involved in these races, making endorsements, even, and this is something that you don't really see much of, particularly for, as he is now a sitting senator, endorsing a challenger to a current state senator running for re-election. So you are certainly, I think, seeing Bailey and those who are of his ilk try and change the direction and the power base of the Illinois GOP.
This is an old story in Illinois, Amanda, and we've been talking about this going back to Judy Bart Topinka, all the way up through the 2018 election when State Rep. Jeanne Ives almost defeated incumbent Governor Rauner for that. So what else are you keeping an eye on, Amanda, in the governor's race in the final week of campaigning?
So just sort of watching, again, I think it really is interesting to see these machinations. And it seemed like this was a race that took a while to gear up. And now in the final moments, even though, as you pointed out in your introduction, Brian, early voting has already begun. So you've got a different sort of campaign strategy here, but we're seeing the candidates continue to crisscross the state. In the case of Bailey, he's promising to get to all 102 Illinois counties. Richard Irvin making these early voting stops. So he hasn't, given up, even though it seems as if many in the party have perhaps given up on him. How much of this is going to be a turning of the tide of the GOP, perhaps? Or is it was a flawed candidate and a flawed campaign, if in fact the polling turns out to be true and Irvin, despite all of the money, comes in a distant or third? Or is it third? Is there a second? What is the role of Jesse Sullivan in the party? We haven't seen a whole ton of debates. We have seen some, but it is really a different sort of feel. I think we're in a campaign for a new age. And again, it is more than just the top of the ticket. This is, I think, going to be very telling in terms of the direction that the Republican Party and therefore the whole tenor of the state's politics in Springfield, what that means going forward.
All right, let me take a moment to reintroduce our conversation. We're talking about state politics 1 week away from Election Day, but as we've been saying, Voting is already well underway. It's been happening for a month. Tens of thousands of mail-in and early voting ballots have been cast already. You may be among them. And now is the time. If you don't want to wait until Election Day next Tuesday, you can go vote right now. We're speaking about this with Amanda Vinicky of WTTW Chicago Tonight and Brendan Moore, who covers state government and politics for Lee Enterprises Newspapers, which publishes The Herald and Review, The Pantograph, and The Post-Dispatch, among many other papers in Illinois. All right, time is ticking away in our conversation here. Let's turn to the race for Congress. Brendan, you ended yesterday at that dinner in Peoria, but you began at a Mellow Cream Donuts, a local donut chain in Springfield, where Congressman Rodney Davis was being endorsed by the Illinois and U.S. Chamber of Commerce in his 15th district primary against Congresswoman Mary Miller. Could you have a more stark contrast compared to the endorsement she is expecting to get, or sort of re-endorsement she's expecting later this week?
I don't think so. You know, I was just thinking that it's not a small endorsement for Congressman Davis to get the endorsement of the U.S. Chamber and the Illinois Chamber, but it comes, quite frankly, nowhere close to the significance of the endorsement that Mary Miller has received from former President Trump and the visit she's going to get on Saturday. At that Mellow Cream in Springfield, the chamber officials said that Congressman Davis is a conservative, but knows how to achieve bipartisan consensus and actually govern. That's a contrast he's tried to make with Congresswoman Miller, who is more of a firebrand, far right conservative, Freedom Caucus member, less willing to compromise. Quite frankly, it kind of illustrates the fact that they had this big event in Springfield. They later went to Quincy and did the same thing, which obviously happens to be very close to where this rally is going to be on Saturday. This race is tight. It's going down right down to the wire. Some private and public polling have shown it to be within single digits. The conventional wisdom has been that Congressman Davis has had a slight edge. He has a better organization. He's had a little bit more money. He's been around longer, maybe, you know, more comfortable retail politicking. But Congressman Miller has that Trump support, and him coming into the district days before the election will undoubtedly be a boost in a district that voted for him with nearly 70% of the vote. And so it could go, really could go either way. And I think that not necessarily a test on the future of ideological direction of the party, because both are fairly conservative, although Congressman Davis has more of a bipartisan streak than Congressman Miller does. But it may be a test on the hold the former president still has over his party. Candidates that are endorsed by the former president tend to win. Not all the time. We've seen some high profile losses in the past few weeks in some other states. But we will see if he is able to get her over the finish line next week.
Yeah. And another way to frame that is Davis is somebody who has accepted the facts of the 2020 election and Joe Biden's victory. And Miller is somebody who has questioned it and voted against accepting the results of the election on January 6th. Davis voted to accept those results. So just another way to frame that. Amanda, just a couple of minutes left. Anything you're looking for out of the president's visits, maybe in terms of the gubernatorial side of things?
I see where you're going with that, Brian.
Yeah.
There is some curiosity because you've really seen Bailey try, and frankly, all of the candidates. I spoke with a political scientist, Chris Mooney, who I am sure you've had plenty on the program, who says, you know, really the entire GOP primary contest for the governor's race is to see who can be Trumpiest. And of course, that is a dynamic that changes in the general election, which is the path that the Ervin campaign was trying to take, to be conservative, to go Republican, but not say anything that would mess up a more statewide message that would resonate with moderate voters or moderate Democrats anyway, who are dissatisfied with Pritzker and might go his way. That's certainly different than what some of the others in the race have done. They have made no bones about their conservatism. So you've seen Bailey try and cozy up to Trump, going to a fundraiser, sharing pictures with the former president, but thus far the former president has not officially given the nod to Darren Bailey. So I think there's a lot of eyes waiting to see whether he will get that on Saturday. And frankly, at that point, how much does that matter? Is Trump kind of coming in too late to the point where it's not going to change the dynamics of the race too much at that point?
All right. Well, we will certainly update our listeners next week on what happens at that rally. Amanda Vinicky from WTTW, Brendan Moore with Lee Enterprises. Thanks so much for being with us on the 21st show. And keep your heads up for the next week. It's going to be an intense one, I suspect.
I suspect so, too. Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, Brian.
More to come on the 21st show. After a short break, we're going to be pivoting and spending the rest of the program talking about the 100th anniversary of the Herron Massacre, one of, if not the worst episode of labor violence in American history. That's after a short break. Stay with us.